Pizza Couch Potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, the show that every week delivers reviews of movies.
Okay.
That's the whole that's it. And this week, we're going to do just that by reviewing The Backup Plan, which in which Jiggly Jello J-Lo stars. I actually promised Adam Charles, one of our writers at Film School Rejects, that I would make the Jiggly Jello J-Lo joke.
Wow. I'm surprised. Can you say that fast three times?
Jiggly Jello J-Lo joke? Like that?
Yeah.
I don't know if
no,
I can
no,
get
just
three. No,
no, just Jiggly Jello J-Lo. Don't put joke in there.
Jiggly Jello J-Lo?
Yeah, say that fast.
Jiggly Jello J-Lo. Jiggly Jello J-Lo. Jiggly
wow.
Jello J-Lo.
I'm impressed.
I mean, it's so natural that it's easy to say.
I would say something about that. I would quote a line from Blazing Saddles, but I'm pretty sure that would get bumped off the air.
Yeah, we don't want to get kicked out of Wyoming. I mean, that is our base. So
we're still on the air in Wyoming. That's a good thing.
It's amazing. Anyway, we're also talking about The Losers this week, which is a film that I know Kevin can relate to. And Oceans, another movie Kevin can relate to, Oceans, because oceans are wide. And
wow!
In the mean,
wow! Have you looked at yourself in the mirror lately,
before
Tubby?
Before we get to all of that, let's talk about some business here.
Business.
Here is how you can get a hold of us. You can go to fatguysthemovies.com, the evolving fatguysthemovies.com. We got all kinds of great stuff there that has nothing to do with the actual show. So you know, you discover things over at fatguysthemovies.com. That's actually our new slogan: discover things.
I was about to say, it sounds like you're like. And going through puberty on fatguysofthemovies.com, discovering new things.
I wouldn't,
changes are happening.
I wouldn't really put it past us at this point. You can also get us on iTunes. Search Fat Guys at the Movies. You can download us. You can subscribe to us and get us automatically updated to your iPod phone pad thing. And you can review us, which is what we like to read the reviews. We're going to check on those later in the show. I don't think any new ones, but who knows? You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735 is the number. You can get us on Facebook, facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies, or just search fatguysatthemovies. You can get us on the Twitter, twitter.com/KevinCarr for Kevin, twitter.com/rejects for yours truly.
Yes.
And, or you can listen to us. Just keep listening to whatever you're listening to right now, because that seems as if you found us.
It's working for you.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway.
Shall we start delivering movie reviews as promised?
I mean, that is what we do. Every week we review movies. That is the highest level of expectation that you can have for this show.
That we're not saying they're good.
Yeah.
They just exist. The first one is Oceans, which is Disney Nature's latest Earth Day release about life in our oceans.
In 2010, they'll take you below the sea with Oceans. Disney Nature invites you on a journey through our planet's five oceans to discover never-before-seen worlds through the eyes of the creatures who live there.
The thing that's different with this was actually released on Pandora Day, which was Thursday.
They totally got the holidays wrong.
I know. And they did this last year, Disney Nature. Basically what they do is they take existing nature documentaries, is what I understand, and they put them together into a big screen thing. Last year it was Earth, which was a... it was a pared-down version of Planet Earth, which was a BBC many-episode story, and it's shot in high def, and it looks really fantastic, and it's like any nature documentary. These things are really cool. I mean, they're fun to watch. They're neat to see on the big screen. Even though it has predators and that sort of thing, it's relatively bloodless. I mean, you get to see some baby sea turtles get eaten by birds, you see, you know, there's a section from the BBC Earth series that is the sardine run, which is it's beautiful on Nature's Most Amazing Events, which is a Blu-ray you can get. But they have a portion of it on here where they literally have dolphins and sharks and birds and like a blue whale all eating these sardines in this massive feeding frenzy. It's fantastic. So I mean, it's neat to see, and you can take your kids. Mm. I mean, it's safe. It's G-rated. Just because it's G-rated though doesn't mean that you can just bring a 2-year-old and let him talk through the whole damn thing. You know, use some discretion, idiot parents. Mm-hmm. And you know, the only thing I didn't like about it is I've seen enough nature documentaries, and it just gets tedious that at the end they always have to throw in the, well, and we need to take care of the, which nothing against taking care of the environment. It's just everything ends with, you know, the ending of the movie's coming when they bring out the, well, we need to be careful. Only this one did a little bit different spin, because when they give the whole, well, we got to take care of the environment, take care of our oceans. And then it goes on to say how awesome the people who are making the documentary are because they care so much. So it does get a little bit cheesy at the end.
Yeah.
But it has some fantastic things. I mean, it's got like a scuba diver right next to a great white shark. And, you know, it has these weird creatures in the ocean. And you see whales feeding and humpback whales, you know, in pods and giant crab armies. I mean, it's really, really a neat movie. And it's worth seeing on the big screen.
Fair enough. And one of the things that always concerns me with the Disney nature stuff is they reuse a lot of footage.
Well, that's what it is. It's a lot of times.
I like all of their stuff. Even though it's reused footage, it's still pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the oceans is like the first chance. Like, the Earth movie that they released last year didn't have any ocean stuff in there. So I feel like if I go see this, I'll get some.
Well, they had a humpback whale family in that one. I mean, it's just, but they spent time in Africa with elephants. There's no ocean in Africa with elephants now.
I don't think so. No. Not last time I was there, at least. No. So, all right. Well,
next,
what's the grade?
Next Earth Day, they're going to be there. It's African cats. It's going to be about like cheetahs and lions. Not tigers. Tigers in Africa don't exist, except in zoos. But no, I say it rocks. Take your kids. It's fun.
Fair enough.
A neat movie. And if you see it in the first week, Disney donates like a portion of the first week's gross to saving a coral reef or something like that.
Tree huggers. I'll do it just to donate to the reefs. I'm a fan of the reefs.
Yes. And that's not a band. It's just the reefs.
Yeah.
So.
No,
the reefs. So, yeah, it rocks.
All right, cool. What's next?
Next, let's just go ahead and introduce this, and then we'll talk more about it after the break.
Oh,
but
I can't
this
wait.
One, the backup plan. J-Lo wants a baby. She gets artificially inseminated and then falls in love.
Warning. What you are about to witness will haunt you.
Come on, everyone. The baby's coming.
For years to come. The backup plan.
Ours won't be like that.
You shouldn't have seen that.
In theaters April 23rd.
You didn't get a chance
Dude,
to see
spoiler
this.
Spoiler alert. I don't want to know falls in love.
Well,
that's probably the big.
That's,
you know,
on the poster,
whole movie,
man.
Hinges on it.
And then the vampires show up.
Oh, right. See, now, one
awesome.
Of these days, they're going to make. Someone's going to be self-aware enough to make a movie like this with J-Lo. And the vampires are actually going to show up, or the werewolves are going to show, or
real
the
vampires. None
go
of
off.
This, yeah, none of this sparkly garbage.
Well, yeah, I mean, clearly, that's what I was
saying. Not clearly, anyways. But we'll get to our review of the backup plan.
Your review. I didn't see this.
My
this
review.
Junk.
You're a better person for me for it. But when we come back from a break, talk about the backup plan.
And we're back on Fat Guys at the Movies, the show that brings you opinions about films.
Wow. We're the show that does a lot of things, apparently. And
this
one of the things...
But, I mean, that's pretty much it. That's what we do. And right now we're talking about the backup plan.
Yeah, and one of the things we're bringing you is our review of the backup plan. Now, you didn't see this, which probably means that you have more life left in you now.
Well, yeah, it's funny. It's a funny story, actually. Since we have time, I couldn't make it because I had to do the Lost Club, which if Film School Rejects readers know is the most important thing in the world.
Okay.
On Tuesdays, and the screening just happened to be on Tuesdays, so I weaseled Adam Charles, who I previously mentioned, who had the jiggly J-Lo.
Yes.
joke. Mm-hmm. And the agreement was he would go see it if he could use the phrase Jiggly J-Lo.
Yeah.
In Jiggly Jello J-Lo.
Yes.
I think was,
yes.
Was the full thing. If he could use that in his review. And I was like, of course. You know, why not?
Why not?
But I saw him the next night at the screening for The Losers.
As long as it doesn't say Muhammad, you're safe.
I guess. So, you know, the next night we were at The Losers and I saw him and I was like, so... the backup plan, and the look that he gave me looked like the question I had just asked had killed, like, his entire family. Yeah. The question itself was so evil that everyone he loved and cared about was dead.
You may want to check up on that, because that is quite possible. Here's the thing.
That bad, huh?
It's terrible. It is a bad movie, and I saw it was Nikki Fink from Deadline Hollywood. She no
Finkel and Einhorn. Finkel
was it her who
Einhorn.
Said this? No. It was this Vulture article I was reading. It was, it wasn't Nikki Fink, but it was this article which we'll link to because I think it's a fantastic article talking about how the awareness for the backup plan is like 76%. 76% of people are aware of it. And only 20-some percent actually want to see it. And only 6% have it as their first choice. So everybody else, if what they're going to go see is sold out, which is probably not going to – nothing's really going to sell out this weekend. No one's going to see the backup plan. And they phrased it as this would be the second nuclear bomb from CBS Films, which is a new studio.
Oh, they did that one with Brendan Fraser and Harrison Ford that just
that
did not
movie
go anywhere.
They had a statistic in there: 14 million worldwide, which is the lowest grossing movie in Harrison Ford's entire career. Got to remember, he was making movies in the 70s.
Yet not the lowest grossing movie of Brendan Fraser's career.
Well, you know, we all have to have standards. We can talk about that next week because Furry Vengeance. You know, who knows.
Hey, that movie's going to be awesome.
I'm bringing my kids. It's going to be one for the kids, I'll tell you.
I cannot wait.
Anyways, that's going back to the backup plan. This movie's terrible. It starts with the writing. I mean, the writing is the worst writing possible. It reads like a script was rejected from a guy who got like a C in a screenwriting course. It has all of the parts to it. You know, if you say what is the formula for a romantic comedy script? You know, what do you need to do? You need to have a cute meet. You got to have a conflict. You got to have a thing. Then they got to kind of break up, and then they have to get back together. And they got have all these elements. They're all there. It's just so awkwardly crammed together.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. And J-Lo, she's not a great actor to begin with. You know, I don't think anyone's out there saying, "Well, no, she's fantastic." No, she's not. And a friend of ours, David Metzger from Bullseye.com, had said, he's like, with that said, no, it wasn't her. It was Kelly Gingery, who was a host a couple weeks ago on this. She said, well, on this show. Well, she didn't say it on this show, but she mentioned on Facebook. Yeah. And she said, yes, I have to say, after seeing this movie, she's a good singer.
She was really good in Selena.
She doesn't sing in this movie, though. So that's the thing. And I was making a joke to people. I said, well, I'm going to go see The Backup Plan, and it stars Jennifer Lopez and Jennifer Lopez's ass, because it's there in the poster. They literally have a scene where she's talking about how fantastic her ass used to be. They literally have a scene, and she pulls out pictures, and I'm like, is that meant to be an inside joke, or is it her trying to get validation that she's attractive? Because she just turned 40, and so, you know, women, when they turn 40, especially women in Hollywood whose lives are about looking good, you know, it's
such a sexist world in which we live.
It is, it's just poorly done. If you've not seen the Super Bowl spot, we will link to this in the show notes. The Super Bowl spot is supposed to be the part of the movie that hinges on the funny, but they're trying to make it like raunchy. They're trying to go kind of Knocked Up. Remember the scene in Knocked Up where Jay Baruchel goes in and looks into the delivery room, and he sees, you know, he looks into the face of the TARDIS, and you know, his eyes go blank. That's
right, and he almost dies.
Yes, that is. They have a scene like that in there, and it does not work. It is such a bad movie, It's just the acting.
Wait, does J-Lo show her TARDIS?
No.
And does the Doctor come out of it?
No, it's a lesbian couple.
Oh.
And, I mean, what's funny, there's a couple people in there that are funny, but they're all, like, supporting. It's just, and it's a bad movie. And the guy who's
it's
the,
so
what
bad
is it,
that
Alec
you're
McLaughlin?
Completely at a loss for sentence structure.
I really have no idea how to express yourself. I have post-traumatic stress syndrome after seeing this movie. I feel like, I know where Adam Charles is coming from, man.
He looked like he had PTSD.
I mean, totally.
That's the best way to possibly explain the reaction on his face when I said, So, the backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
Whew,
yeah,
man,
so
I tell you.
Let's go move on to the next movie. Oh, sure. It sucked, by the way. If you couldn't get that from my review, the backup plan sucks.
Anyway, time to we have several minutes to talk about a movie we both saw.
Yes, finally.
Yes, and it's called The Losers, and it is about a group of soldiers who are framed and left for dead in Bolivia by a rogue CIA operative. A year later, they get a chance at revenge.
Boom.
CIA, NSA, Special Forces.
Hit it.
We're not them. We're the losers. But even the government's best.
Freeze! Clay, we have a situation here.
Get betrayed.
Change of plans. The losers know too much. Kill them.
Good times.
So anyway, so I saw this. I'm curious to hear what you thought about this particular movie. I walked out of it absolutely confused.
See, well, this is the thing. I was looking forward to it just because I wanted big dumb action, and I realize it's like mid-April big dumb action, so I wasn't expecting huge like Transformers or G.I. Joe, that level of action.
I mean,
but
it was no From Paris with Love.
I didn't see. But, I mean, if what you want is just some gunplay and some things exploding and that sort of stuff, it's cool. I referred to it as A-Team Light, and Robert Fury took issue with that. I haven't responded to him yet, so I'll respond on the show. He took issue with it because he's like, nobody ever got killed in the A-Team. I'm like, well, I'm not talking about the TV show. I mean, if you're excited to see the A-Team this summer... It's sort of like maybe a good stepping stone to that, because I don't think the action scenes aren't going to be as huge. I mean, they're not dropping a tank out of a helicopter in this movie.
Right.
So it's got some action, but it's the stories. I mean, it's just your standard bunch of rogue soldiers doing a mission kind of thing. And I mean, for what it is, for the dumb action movie, I enjoyed it. I liked it. I thought it was fun. Character and story is not really there. And Jason Patrick plays the bad guy.
Bad guy.
And he blew hot and cold for me. There are some scenes I thought he was very funny because he sort of spoofs Bond villains in it. Mm-hmm. And there's like two scenes that I just thought were really funny, and the rest of them kind of got tedious. But I know some people really like that part. What do you think?
Well, see, here's the thing. And I think Jason Patrick is where the movie hinges on being either people liked it or didn't like it, because he's so out of sync with the rest of the movie.
That's true.
Like, he is playing this character that is way over the top. And he's a very moronic villain in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like, a lot about his existence.
Everybody's morons in this movie.
Doesn't make sense. Well, I mean, that's the problem, though. The losers are actually fairly efficient. Like, they seem like they are actual soldiers or were or... You know, one of them's just goofy, and it's Chris Evans, and he's great comic relief.
He steals the show. He totally does.
But Jason Patrick is so out of place. So you either think that him going so far over the top is awesome, or you look at it like I did, and you're just like, he was acting for a different movie. He was clearly in the wrong movie.
I can totally see where
totally
you're coming from.
And that takes you out of the
though.
Experience. And I had fun with it. There's some cool explosions. There's some... very fun shoot 'em up, and I thought it just inconsistent visually. It was very just. It needed a little bit more restraint, you know. Like Sylvan White, the director, needed to be a little bit more, have a little bit more restraint with slow mo, and he needed to kind of pull Jason Patrick, this amazing actor that is Jason Patrick, down a notch.
Clearly, you have
two.
Not seen Speed 2,
and it would have been, you know, I think it could have been a much better movie. But anyway, I mean, we have to go to break, but
I'm gonna
grade it on the other side.
I'm gonna say it kind of rocks.
I say it kind of rocks too.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We were in the middle of talking about The Losers.
Where are
and
we now?
Did you have anything more you wanted to say? I kind
of
rushed
out.
Well,
you know, I think it's pretty clear what I thought. That I mean, there's some really
well, I mean, without
stupid,
Jason
really
Patrick, were you okay with
stupid
it?
Stupid movie.
Yeah.
But there's some really fun action. It's like it is the closest equivalent, the most appropriate situation to say that it's a cinematic train wreck. That's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just that if you watched two trains collide,
okay,
part of it would be awesome.
Okay.
But then once you realize what happened, it's kind of sad.
There's sort of a human tragedy element.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about it. It's the equivalent of watching two empty trains collide.
Okay.
Like, no one got hurt. But
so it'd be totally
awesome, but there's still just, I mean,
there's a level of ugliness when the smoke clears.
Exactly. So that's what I feel. I mean, but I say, you know, it kind of rocks. You could do a lot worse. Although I would say go see Kick-Ass. If you're thinking about needing a good action movie, go see Kick-Ass in its second week as opposed to The Losers. And The Losers is one of those movies you could pick up on DVD and be just fine.
Yeah. I will say, though, this with The Losers, the action scenes, I did like the action. They had some really awesome explosions.
Yeah.
Some awesome explosions. And Chris Evans was really funny.
He was. He was.
He's and
very charismatic.
Zoe Saldana had had her boobie airbrushed out digitally.
Her butt controls slow motion.
Oh, her butt was awesome in slow. She has some incredible ass shots in that movie in slow motion. And
really,
I do not
really
fault the director at all.
Into...
Hey, we've devolved
really
into
in
what the
movie.
Show is. It's Fat Guys of the Movies.
I guess. I'm trying not to be sexist here, ladies.
I don't care. no, but the reason I noticed that with Zoe Saldana is there's a sex scene with her and Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
There is.
And, and she takes off her top, and it's the thing, because this is PG-13, and it's, of course, her, so, you know, since she's a big star, you know, she's not going to show her boobs. Wait till she's 40. You're going to see more tits on her.
I mean, she showed them through
all...
I watched Avatar on Blu-ray this week. She showed them through Avatar.
But they were
CGI.
Blue and way bigger. Not cup size, just physically larger.
Well, I mean, she's 10 feet tall in the movie. I mean,
duh.
You guys are tall chicks.
I do that Avatar.
Wow. Wow.
Not the old Sigourney Weaver Avatar. The young, hot...
We really should just move on.
Anyways, no, what I was saying is so there's a scene and she spins around and the what it was is they digitally airbrushed out her nipple or her pasties, whatever was covering her, because it was like this flash of like really bad airbrushing, like pop, you know, it's almost like a flash frame. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Oh my god, it was jarring."
Everyone
I
who was staring at where her nipple was going to be, like
which
Kevin,
was everybody in the theater
got disappointed.
Yes. So there.
Okay.
But Jeffrey D. Morninger probably got to see it, so.
Good for him. I'm good sure he's, you know, I mean, he's a very rough and tumble, good-looking, you know, gritty kind of guy. I'm sure he's seen a fair amount of ladies' breasts in his day.
Okay. Just now that you've explained your man crush on Jeffrey Dean Morgan,
dude, that guy
let's
is
move.
Awesome.
Let's move on to the box office. You have some pretty wild predictions, and you have some interesting things to say about the box office.
It's hard to say. Well, I mean, let's start with last week. We had Kick-Ass pulled out the victory last week, right?
Yeah, it snatched victory out of the jaws of. Let's just say it snatched
it barely beat.
Sort of victory out of the jaws of victory.
Yeah, I mean, it barely snuck by How to Train Your Dragon, $19.8 million, which a lot of people think is a failure. It's actually not that bad for an R-rated movie with that sort of language and whatnot.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what irritated me about the whole box office play. See, for prefacing this by saying, I enjoyed Kick-Ass. I thought it was a fun movie. I enjoyed seeing it. I'm glad they made it the way they made it, but I with all that said, I said it was funny. I come out of our screening, and I said to the people, the other critics in Columbus, when I saw it, I said, "I love the movie." I said, "But it's gonna make it's going to be lucky to make $20 million its first week, and it'll probably make $15 to $20 million. And there are people like, no way, it's going to make $70 million over the course of its run. I'm like, no way, it is going to make $30 million ish. It's going to do cop out numbers.
It's just kind of a R-rated movie.
It's a niche movie, and that's the thing. So it did well, but everyone then coming out and being like, oh, then people are talking about word of mouth, and maybe the next weekend's going to be really well. And it's like, I'm like, you know what? That's sort of like people saying at any sort of, whenever you have an election and your candidate's losing, you're like, well, I don't believe the exit polls. And you're like, yeah, you can pretty much believe the exit polls. I mean, if you're those people out there who, like, in the 2008 election were waiting up at, like, 11 o'clock at night going, well, let's wait till they get the votes counted. McCain might pull it out. No, he's not going to pull it out.
Yeah.
we knew this was happening, and that's the way it is with Kick-Ass. I mean, it did well for what it was, but the problem with Hollywood is it's all about expectation.
Right. Right, which it's hard to say what the real studio expectation on that was. You know, that's the funny part is that the studio never comes out and says, "Well, we expected it to make more."
No.
Everyone just assumes what the expectation is. So
the only time the studio comes out and says that is if they're like, if they expect it to make $30 million,
blows it away.
If it comes out and makes $50 million, they'll be like, "Yeah, we were thinking high 20s, and it made 50."
Right. No, yeah. Kick-Ass. It won the weekend. Good for it.
By like 200,000.
How to Train Your Dragon. Death at a Funeral came in number 4. It was very tight at the top, and I think that's going to be kind of the situation this week, where it's going to be very tight at the top, but it's going to be lower this week. So instead of being tight at like 16 to 19 million, I think you're going to be 14 to 16 million. I think 16 million, and it'll probably be... How to Train Your Dragon seems like the easy choice. I would like to personally say that I think Oceans has a shot, just because his Disney nature movies usually make a decent amount of money. But
well, they've only released one,
but
so there's no trend to speak of necessarily.
Yeah, but of the major releases, I think The Losers is the only one. I think The Losers will finish second.
No, I think The Losers is going to be number one, and I think it'll make around what Kick-Ass made. I think it'll be
so. You're thinking closer 18, to like 19 million.
18, 19 million. It might break 20, but maybe not. I think that there's it's good. I think you're right. It's going to be a soft weekend, and you're going to see everything is going to all fall within $5 million. But the whole point is How to Train Your Dragon made what, 20 million this last weekend ish. Even if it has only a slow like 30% drop off, that's still like 12 million. I don't think it's going to win the weekend with a standard, even with a low drop off. It already kind of bumped up, but I really don't think it's not getting a second.
Now here's an interesting question.
It's not going to do what The Blind Side did.
The backup plan is in the most theaters. It's in 3,300 theaters. It's a big.
So there'll
big
be more groups. Empty theaters out there this.
And also, I mean, J Lo kind of has a decent amount of. I mean, she used to be a box office draw.
No, I think the 1-2 punch of Gigli and Jersey Girl killed that for her.
Really? That's what you...
Yeah. Well, I mean, she did Made in Manhattan, which did very well, but that was like in 2002, and then she followed it up. I believe that came first, and then you had Jersey Girl.
2004 was Jersey Girl, and it made $8 million. 2004, Shall We Dance made $11 million. Monster-in-Law in 2005 made $23
million. Total? Or opening
weekend, it made $82 million lifetime.
Yeah.
So, but it's hard to say. She hasn't really done anything significant in about 5 years. So
I don't think this is reaching the right market. I think the Super Bowl spot hurt it because they're going for raunch. Take a look at that Super Bowl spot. It is horrifying.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's the guy that she's paired with is he's like on some crappy TV show. It's not like pairing him with a name star that people would recognize. He's just this guy. He's this very generic rom-com guy. And I had read that the industry rival studios are predicting 4 to 7 million for the entire weekend.
Mm-hmm.
This is not for, which is what Kick-Ass made its first day.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think that the backup plan is going to be the first huge bomb of 2010.
I hope so.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, I don't wish any ill will on CBS Films or whatever, but if you keep making crappy movies,
yeah,
you deserve crappy results.
Here's my theory as to why it's. I think that there's too much meddling with the people starting CBS Films. Is there? Because if you watched Extraordinary Measures, you can tell they were like, "Let's do something significant. Let's do something rich and power." And it almost was like they were trying too hard with it. And I got that sense with this one that they were like, "Well, we need to make this a good romantic, but we want to make it appealing to the Apatow raunchy crowd. But now let's do it as a romantic comedy." They were trying to just, as opposed to just making a good movie. They were trying to overly shoehorn it into something.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's going to be the way it is.
Okay. Yeah. If you say so, Kevin Garr.
Let's do the Fat Guy 5.
Fat Guy 5 time. Woo!
Yay.
I feel like we should have a sound effect for that. Anyway, this week's Fat Guy 5 is 5 badass teams of dudes.
Yeah, that's
this
right.
This is a list that, you know, we're...
It's nothing to do with gay porn.
No. This is in honor of the losers... being a team of men on a mission who could probably kick some serious ass. We have 5, and I guess the first one is... this one's yours, right?
Yes, this one is from the movie Predator. More the first film than any of the other ones. And of course, because it has... it has Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's got Carl Weathers. That creepy... bald black dude who shaves his face.
The Russian guy.
It's got Shane Black. It's got this Native American who cuts his chest and then wants to kill the Predator and fails miserably. It's totally your mercenary soldier kind of movie, and that's what I loved about Predator.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Do you want to do the next one? Or do you want me to do the next? The next one's the easiest one.
The next one. You can do it if you want.
The next one is the A Team.
Dun dun dun,
which is clearly the we're gonna have to do this list again when the A-Team movie comes out. But the A-Team existed long before the Losers, and they're pretty cool.
Yeah,
that B.A. Baracus is a pretty tough dude.
I hear he's got a bad attitude.
Oh, he's a bad man.
All right, so let's. What's your next one?
The next one is kind of a duel. Because one's a remake of the other. It's The Seven Samurai from Akira Kurosawa's The Seven Samurai.
And I said The Bug's Life.
Well, A Bug's Life is a remake of Kurosawa's Seven Samurai, so it works. Because it's about seven... they're kind of a ragtag group of samurai. But in the end, at the 3.5-hour mark in Seven Samurai, they really do FSU. What? Yeah.
Fuck shit up?
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
Anyway.
we're in the middle segment. We can throw a couple of bombs. That's right. I say The Bug's Life over The Seven Samurai because they don't have a giant... they don't have a fat German-speaking caterpillar in The Seven Samurai.
And you require that in order to have a good film?
What is more badass than a giant, fat, German-speaking caterpillar? Would you mess with them?
I don't know. If I were an ant or some sort of
or a grasshopper
type bug, I wouldn't mess with them, no.
Dude, if I walked out into my garden and a caterpillar starts talking German to me...
I'd be kind of freaked out.
I'm getting the hell out of there, man.
The only thing freakier is if he sounded like Alan Rickman.
Yeah, and he's smoking a bong. I'll go on to the next one. Or do you want to do the next one?
I'll do the next one. The next one's Inglourious Basterds, both of the past and of the now. They're a pretty mean, lean, mean group of Nazi-killing machines.
Nazis. Yes. And then the last one is the original, although it's not the original, but... Because I'm pretty sure Seven Samurai came before them. But the Dirty Dozen, that's another, army ragtag group of people. I have to admit, I've never seen the Dirty Dozen, but it's so epic and iconic that I have to put them on the list.
I agree.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And honorable mentions, we've got the Marines from Aliens, because they were pretty ragtag and awesome.
Indeed. They also got...
There were a couple non-dudes in there.
Well,
but that's okay.
I mean, Ripley was kind of a dude.
Well, yeah, and Vasquez, but
yeah, you know.
And then another one for the honorable mentions of five badass teams of dudes. I have to throw in the Super Best Friends, featured prominently, and well, most of them prominently, in the last two episodes of South Park. Of course, Mohammed is obscured in a bear costume, which pissed off some radical Muslims who threatened to kill Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Dude, hey, they have their rules.
What's so funny about it is, this is the funniest thing, is actually you can go back and they show on Comedy Central and in syndication, there's an old episode of The Super Best Friends, which is from season like 4. And Muhammad's in that one. They have him, he's pictured there. He has like the power of fire and he has lines. They don't go back and edit that down, but they censor him from new episodes. And then of course, in the latest episode, they bleep out his name, which I'm like, wait a minute. Are you now not allowed to say the name on the air? Comedy Central's a bunch of pussies. I'm sorry. That just brings me to that.
Fair enough.
So I think we're done.
I have nothing to say after that one. So, you know, we'll be back and we'll wrap you up here in a swift moment. And we're wrapping up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. We've talked about some movies and stuff.
Wow. We need to put you in head of a marketing department. Because you're like, yeah, man.
Yeah, no.
It's like having Steve Zahn be your spokesman. Like, try Matrix Direct Insurance.
I haven't seen him do anything lucrative in a long time.
I love Steve
Zahn. Anyway, it is time, once again, for the world famous DVD roundup.
Dun 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 dun.
Okay.
A cameo by the music from the A-Team.
Yeah, no, I get it. I've got a few. I've got three this week, and one of them is on DVD / Blu-ray. You've got Cheech and Chong's Hey, Watch This, which I'm told is very
funny. Do they have any
I did not watch
any
it yet,
marijuana humor in that one at all?
You know, it's really hard to say.
They might not.
I feel like they might be getting more aggressive in their later years, so they might actually have some drug humor. Wow,
that'd be groundbreaking.
Anyway, another disc that blew me away this week was Minority Report on Blu-ray. Yeah. Some of the coolest special features, including an interactive commentary track with Steven Spielberg.
Wow.
Very rare type of deal. And it was just such a cool disc.
Was Muhammad
and
on the commentary?
The transfer? No, the transfer is fantastic. It's just, I did not expect to be recommending Minority Report because it's a good movie. It's not a great movie, but it's a solid.
It's not Spielberg's best. It's not Cruise's best, but it's still enjoyable to watch.
But it's you know, and on Blu-ray, it's really a lot of special features and a lot of new special features too.
Yeah, because the DVD had plenty on it too. I mean, it was packed with a lot of stuff.
Right. And then you have Battleship Potemkin on Blu-ray. Finally, one of the greatest movies of all time.
Okay.
In my mind.
Was it better than Speed 2 Cruise Control with Jason Patrick?
Oh, totally. Okay. Totally.
Because that also took place on a ship.
And it's a movie from, I mean, it is an old-ass movie.
Okay.
So, but it looks, you know, it looks pretty good for what it is on Blu-ray.
Okay. Cool.
So, that's all I got.
On to mine, I got to give a little shout-out to The Lovely Bones, Peter Jackson's latest film that doesn't have any hobbits in it whatsoever, about a girl who gets murdered. There's also Crazy Heart, which made me throw up a little bit in my mouth watching Jeff Bridges get it on with Maggie Gyllenhaal. But he won an Oscar, and she should have won some award for dealing with that. It's on what's neat is on the DVD, the Blu-ray, you can get some guitar picks that have his, it says, you know, Crazy Heart on him. There's also Naked Ambition, an R-rated look at the X-rated industry. Do you ever see that?
No.
It's
interesting.
It's sort of like HBO's Real Sex, only taken a little more seriously without so much sex. It's about a guy who's making a coffee table book about adult film stars, And it's a documentary of him doing that, and he goes to like the adult film, the AVN Awards and the conventions and that sort of thing. He does interviews with some stars. It's just an interesting look at the industry because it's a little more candid than you get. It's not as in your face and gratuitous as some of the behind the scenes type things. So it's a little more clinical and it's kind of interesting. It's not great. It basically shows that they're as vapid and as stupid as regular Hollywood.
fair enough.
There's also Necrosis starring Tiffany. It's sort of
any movie that's got Tiffany in it.
It looked awesome from the trailers. I requested a copy and then I watched it and it was.
This movie was the first movie that Film School Rejects gave an F to this year.
Really?
I was wrong earlier this week when I said that the Backup Plan was the first movie that we gave an F to. But Necrosis got an F from the Coroner's Report.
You know, if I had to sit through a movie, if I had to choose between Necrosis and the Backup Plan, I'd sit through Necrosis 5 times before I sat through the Backup Plan once again.
Fascinating.
Just to let you know, Robert may have not liked Necrosis, but seriously?
He didn't have to see the Backup
Plan. Yeah, he needs to get a new template. He needs to clean his palate a little bit and then come back and watch it again. There's also Falcon Crest Season 1. That's worth watching. If you like cheesy 80s soap operas on primetime. And it has Susan Sullivan, who plays Castle's mom. And she was hot back then. She's not bad looking now for 67 years old.
She's still kind of hot. Yeah. Not going to lie. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the stinker this week is Avatar.
Yes.
And this is specifically because Avatar, while it looks wonderful on Blu-ray, I mean, really, really awesome on Blu-ray, does not have any special features whatsoever, and they are saving that for an ultimate edition that will come out later in the year. So, at best, I would rent Avatar if you haven't seen it. Do not buy this release.
It is these kind of releases that do irritate me, where they're just... I mean, it's as if Avatar hasn't made enough money. Do we really need to have that early?
What's disappointing is, as we talk about this, I see reports popping up in my news feeds that it sold 1.5 million copies on its first
day. It's the number one seller on Amazon. It's going crazy.
Yeah, of all time. It's the fastest selling DVD ever.
And all these people are going to have to...
Stop it, people. Seriously.
Just rent it.
Because you're going to end up buying 1.5 million more copies of this
or
DVD.
Or go to the theater and see it. It's still in the theater and you can... Because it's not... To get the same experience, you don't have to even see it in 3D because it's not in 3D on DVD. Anyways, I'm getting irritated.
Hey,
let's move on.
All right, time to wrap up the reviews that we did. Kevin saw the Backup Plan and said...
It sucked.
We agreed on The Losers, saying both that it kind of rocks, and then you saw Oceans.
I say it rocks. It's probably the best one of the week.
Next week, we got two releases, A Nightmare on Elm Street, the remake, and Furry Vengeance with Brendan Fraser.
Very similar movies.
Which I can only assume is going to be awesome. Anyway, in the meantime, fatguysthemovies.com is where you can find us. Go out, have a wonderful time at the movies,
live long and prosper,
and don't get killed in an alley.